pirate radio stations. Good, 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 good. Now, I have told the Prime Minister that we will shut them down within 12 months.
As you will see, sir, they're not, in fact, outside of the law at the moment, sir.
You see, that's the whole point of being the government. If you don't like something, you simply make up a new law that makes it illegal.
Flying under the CRTC's radar, you're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
Speaking of which, I think we might also start working on legislation to outlaw that haircut of yours.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
Go invited to my party. You want to stop it, you and what I'm there. You and your keep on you. Just make me fuck you. Make some guidance. You're still invited. You're invited.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show, Strictly Talks Hockey. Glad to have everybody with us tonight. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah?
We had some nice weather over the last few days.
It's been much cooler, I will give you that.
The final lead-up to my brother's wedding,
congratulations, there we go.
We are getting ready for that, so
yeah,
it'll be a lot of fun.
Things are going well then, is what you're saying. Things are hitting on all cylinders. The song you can hear in the background, bit of a weird story to this one.
Okay, I'm ready.
I thought I'd bring it out because I had never heard of this, and it was released yesterday. The song was released yesterday. It's called You're Invited, okay? Tonight's
shocker.
Song.
Shocker. I could not guess.
I know. Hard to be surprised by that one based upon the number of times it's been repeated. But brand new track released yesterday from an artist called The Dare.
Okay.
Now, I was like, okay, well, what is this? What is this crap? Not to put the cart before the horse, but what is this crap?
Yeah.
Maybe you know Harrison Patrick Smith a little bit better by the name Turtlenecked.
Okay.
That's the actual name he used to perform under in the Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
Since moving to New York City in 2017, though, he began writing what he calls quote-unquote goofy songs, unquote, again, which led to his August 2022 song, Girls. Again, ridiculously bad song. I listened to it earlier today. It was awful. Which he released again under the name The Dare. I can't say this without laughing, but John Caramanica, he writes for the New York Times. He called Girls the fifth best song of 2022, which I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Mm-hmm. However, Sophie Kemp of Pitchfork, she came back with the saying that the Dare shtick, quote, looks better on a t-shirt than in a song where its snarkiness is a little less exhausting, unquote.
Nice.
So you'll hear a little bit more at the end of the show, but I'm on the side of mm-hmm. Sophie Kemp. It's not good music, but I thought it's kind of, if you're invited to the show, which is, well, kind of why I played it.
I mean, it makes sense. I feel like that song is one of the ones that should have stayed on the shelf.
Yeah, I don't know where, again, I don't know why this kid decided to go change his name to The Dare when he moved to New York, but whatever.
It changed things up. You're in a new city on the East Coast and making a name for yourself. I don't know.
But it's weird, though, because like Sophie went and saw him apparently sometime in New York where he was still performing as Turtlenecked.
Uh-huh.
And performing songs by The Dare. So, like, she was like, this doesn't, like, this
do you
is,
not have
this
enough
doesn't
songs?
Make, this doesn't make sense.
As The Dare
me.
Yet?
Yeah, like, what are you doing? Like, this doesn't make sense. If you're going to be The Dare, if you're going to be Turtle, let be Turtle-like. Like, whatever. Anyway, didn't come out well, but no big deal. I do want to say, though, before we get into things, congratulations to Winnipegger Skylar Park today on her bronze medal in Taekwondo. It's
Woo!
The first medal in Taekwondo for Canada in 16 years.
Nice.
So congratulations to Skylar Park and obviously making Canada proud. I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand the Olympics has been going on for a couple of weeks now. It's going to be ending up being... The women from Canada have won virtually all the medals.
Yes, they are doing a fantastic job.
So take nothing away from the women in this country because they are killing it at the Olympics. I watched a little bit of the Alicia pole vaulting yesterday. Oh my God, is that like, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm pole vaulting in any wouldn't interest me at all.
Yeah.
But they were having so much fun as competitors. Like, they were joking around with each other. They're laughing as they're getting ready. They're like, you kind of look at that vibe, you go, I get that it's a pretty niche sport. Like, there's not a lot of people that are out there doing it in terms of, and then if you're doing it, you got to be really good at it. Mm-hmm. But, like, Alicia Newman looked like she was having a blast yesterday breaking that personal record of her, best of hers.
Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of it is you're competing against yourself. So when you get to a meet, you get to an event, you get to actually compete against other people, it's an experience. And obviously, like, going to the Olympics and being an Olympic level athlete is, you're part of a very exclusive group. So there's very few people who will understand what that experience is like. But I think about just the vibe around, like, track event. Like, I looked more specifically at those track sports, like all the running sports, the shot put, javelin, all
the,
of those.
The field sports?
Yeah, the field sports. Track and field. Just that's kind of a vibe that just carries throughout all of those events, because, like, you come together in these events and you're standing around for a lot of it. Like, I remember doing track nationals a few years ago, and we were bouncing between, because all of the events were going on more or less at the same time. So on the broadcast, we would jump from, like, the 100 meter dash to the long jump to, you know, the high jump back to, a relay.
And, I mean, the normal high school track.
But they're we're going all over the gym. But it's not like, you know, Olympic hockey or something where, like, you go, you play your game, and then you leave.
Right, yeah.
You're there the entire time, just, like, doing events and stuff, and you're just kind of, like, hanging around with people.
I was killing myself laughing at some of the memes that were coming out on social media about Ethan Katzberg. About how I'm going to tell my kids this is Thor.
I was the thing that
I'm
we're
like, that is fantastic because he won the hammer throw, right?
Yeah. So. The thing that we've been talking about is the Olympic speed walking competition.
Yeah.
And the funniest thing is, like, people online taking the footage and slowing it down.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're not walking.
No. And but that's the whole thing, though, is that it's a specific type of, like, leg movement that you have to do or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, the same thing came up, like, they had that whole thing about the woman from France who came in fourth in hers, and she immediately went over and, like, proposed to her boyfriend, and you were like, this is crazy. Like she just lost the biggest race of her life, and yet it's the biggest moment of her life.
Because she got to the Olympics.
Yeah, it's so cool.
For the rest of your life, like, you can say, like, oh, yeah, I placed fourth at the Olympics.
Right, yeah.
Like,
and we got engaged that day.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's a super special thing, right?
I've been watching a lot of the field hockey lately. Field hockey's been fantastic. Mm-hmm. I tune in every Summer Olympics for that because it's so good in terms of who's playing and watching. Handball is another good one. It was funny because I was watching people try to describe it, and they're like, it's a combination of, like, soccer and, like, football and, like, basketball
hockey.
All in one. Like, you kind of have to know what you're doing. And I was like, that sounds about right. Like, it's kind of this cool little sport that you got. And then one guy's like, add rugby in there too. There's lots of tackling in there. I was like, it's not really.
I don't think you're playing handball correctly, sir.
I was like, it's not true tackling, but I've seen guys that run into each other in midair. Yeah. Like, they fly into each other.
You're not allowed to wrap your arms around each other.
But yeah, there's our Olympic report quickly for everybody that tuned in for the Olympics anyway. Yeah. So, speaking of experiences, I let's get to one experience that I legitimately wanted to start the show with. And we talked about it a little bit before the show here, Jay. And I want to say, if you live in Toronto, you might live with some people that legitimately don't understand how to avoid creating their own controversy.
Yeah.
And I say that only because we out here in the West, we make fun of Leafs Nation all the time because the Toronto Sports Network, a.k.a. TSN, and Rogers Sportsnet is Toronto everything, Leafs, Blue Jays, Raptors, all that stuff.
The quote that I always go back to, or it was the segment on the Steve Dangle podcast where they talk about the quote that... what's his name? Well, who just got fired? Who's the new Devils coach? I can't remember his name.
Oh, Sheldon Keefe.
Sheldon Keefe. The quote that Keefe had from when his press conference with the Devils, when he said, you know, other coaches and GMs were like, hey, welcome to the real NHL.
Yeah, exactly.
And the guys were melting down on the podcast about it. It's like, what do you mean the real NHL? I'm like, this is exactly what he means by the real NHL. You guys are like freaking out over this one little quote. The rest of us are fine and just doing whatever. For some reason, Leafs Nation is this, like, rabid, monstrous thing
it's
that is
circus.
Just, like, going absolutely bananas over the smallest thing.
So again, the circus this week though changed its sort of setup from Mitch Marner, which we saw earlier in the year, in the summer. Is he going to be traded? Oh my god,
that's going to be all
Craig
year.
Craig Berube's meeting with them. Oh my god, like what's going on?
They went
on?
To a coffee shop.
Yeah, they're having a chat. Oh my god.
Can we talk about the fact that somebody snuck a picture of them at that coffee shop?
Again,
that's not the real NHL. Leave them alone.
I don't care. But here's where things here's where things went a little unhinged this week, and I really think that people need to grab a strong grip of reality when it comes to this stuff. Toronto fans and sport writers always enjoy a good story about the Leafs, and there's no denying that we love making fun of them for that as well.
Yep.
And again, over the summer, very few people have been talking about the Leafs. I mean, aside from the fact that they changed coaches and there's not really a lot that they can do because they're tight against the salary cap.
It's also not hockey talking about time. It's August.
Right. They went out and they signed a few players, and they sort of got themselves set up for next year. And again, Brad Treliving's trying to figure out what he can do with very few dollars to play with. Again, not faulting anybody for that. There's not a lot to talk about right now, and that's what happens. But it seems like Toronto media decided to invent a controversy that really wasn't there this past week.
Okay.
And honestly, when you hear this, you might go, are you kidding me? And because that was my first reaction upon reading the story. So back on July 1st, GM Brad Treliving signed former Dallas Stars defender Yanni Hakanpää to a two-year, $3 million deal. Mm-hmm. But, and here's the big catch, but did not register it with the NHL Central Registry yet.
Mm-hmm.
Reason being is that Hakanpää missed most of the playoffs, if not all the playoffs. He suffered a knee injury in March and needed to get surgery on his knee, needed to get repairs on his knee. Of course, for a defender, for a big hulking defender like Hakanpää, that could be a huge problem because he may never skate the same way.
It could very easily change both his career and life.
So they didn't report on it. Again, Toronto didn't really announce that they had signed Hakanpää, but
Treliving mentioned it at the press conference on July 1.
Right. So Hakanpää has basically agreed to terms for a contract, hasn't really... He signed it. They got it back to Toronto. Toronto just hasn't done anything with it yet because there needs to be a physical done.
Yeah.
So Hakanpää left Dallas, went back to Finland, got arthroscopic knee surgery done on his knee. Basically, they went through... cleaned up his knee, made sure everything was okay with it, and he's been rehabbing at home ever since. Didn't go back to Dallas, didn't go back, you know, free agent. I don't really have to be in Dallas for anything.
Yep.
I got all my gear with me. I'm good at home. Thank you. So, again, you can say what you want about the 32-year-old Finn defender's declining abilities, poor defensive analytics, whatever you want, but
He's 32.
But he's basically a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs pending a physical.
Yeah. Like, he's not like... He put pen to paper, he agreed to terms, but he's not... By the letter of the law, he's not officially a Toronto Maple Leaf.
Correct. The NHL has not recognized that he's part of the Leafs yet.
Yeah.
Totally fine. Again, after recovering from arthroscopic knee surgery, guy legitimately said, okay, well, I'm going to sit at home. I'm going to do whatever. Leafs are doing their due diligence. This is a smart move. They're legitimately not going to give a guy money to sit at home.
Yeah.
Like, they're already tight against the cap. Why would we do that?
Exactly.
Makes total sense to do that. So fast forward to last weekend, where things kind of went completely off the rails in Toronto, if you were one of the sports media, Steve Simmons. Hakanpää decided that he was going to show up and help a golf tournament out, a charity golf event, where he would go and sign autographs for players and people that were coming to watch the event or be part of the event. Hakanpää showed up to that event in a Dallas Stars jersey.
Yeah, because he was most recently a Dallas Star.
Showed up in a Dallas Stars jersey after signing that contract with Toronto.
I don't see the problem with that.
And this legitimately lit a couple of people on fire. Like the whole anger in Inside Out, the character where the fire out of his head.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of sports writers just pounced on
specifically
this.
One guy whose name rhymes with Beef Bimmons.
Well, yeah, again, I'm not going to say too much Simmons, but that's the guy, Steve, that we were talking about. Legitimately, people went bananas in the sports community because they were like, well, is this guy part of our team or not? What's he doing showing up in a Dallas Stars jersey at this event? Now, again, this is a charity golf event. I want to make this very clear. Charity golf event. If he'd shown up in a t-shirt, if he'd shown up in a sweater, if he'd shown up in a parka, nobody would have said a thing. But he shows up in a jersey that he has at his house because he has, A, not set foot in Toronto, B, technically still hasn't been recognized by the NHL as being a Toronto Maple Leaf.
He hasn't played a game as a Toronto Maple Leaf yet.
And C, they're not contractually obligated to send him anything yet because he hasn't passed the physical yet.
Like, by that logic, isn't Robin
technically he's technically still a Dallas Star? Well, it was a Dallas Star. Mm-hmm. I mean, free agency in July 1st allows him to go wherever he wants, but he's still better known as a Dallas Star than any other team that he's currently or not currently with.
Yeah.
So Hockenpah wouldn't get a box of jerseys from the Maple Leafs as a celebratory, hey, thanks for signing with us gift.
Well, it's thanks for agreeing to terms with us. Right.
It's legitimately not legally binding yet, so the Leafs have done nothing.
He hasn't officially signed. Like, by the same logic, Robin Lehner is a Toronto Maple Leaf, right?
Correct,
yeah. Because he passed through the system. He had it. His contract was with the Toronto Maple Leafs for 30 seconds, so he's a Toronto Maple Leaf, right?
But I want my Shea Weber and Pavel Datsyuk Arizona Coyotes jerseys.
Exactly. Like, what are we doing here? He's not officially signed yet. He's never played a game for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He probably hasn't set foot in Toronto, not as a member of the Dallas Stars. He's not a member of your team yet. Calm down.
So Hockenpah goes through and he signs autographs all day. Does a great job. Nobody bothers to report. None of these, I'm going to use the term loosely, none of these morons in Toronto decide to report on why he's there.
Yeah.
So Hockenpah supports a tournament, a golf tournament every year for this charity in Finland that helps underprivileged kids get into sports and exercise in Finland. Basically, kids that can't afford to enroll in sports, this tournament basically raises a lot of money for the charity to help them do that.
Yeah.
Again, totally fantastic reason to go out and sign autographs. Hockenpah has been doing this for the last 8 years, and no one said a word about it. He's raised 650,000 euros. Now, again, if you're not doing the math at home, that's about $1 million for this company, for this charity, to help underprivileged kids get into sports.
That is, like, the best
Yanni,
thing you could do.
Yanni Hockenpah, not Teemu Selanne, not any of the big names that we know, not Patrick Laine. Yanni Hockenpah has used his own time and his own effort to help raise $1 million for this charity. And nobody from Toronto even recognizes that.
Yeah.
You're getting a good dude. You're signing a good dude, whether he plays for you or not.
Yeah.
You're signing a good dude who's willing to go out into the community and do community events. That alone should sell you on how good of a dude this guy is.
And it's like he has enough.
Like, come on.
Like, he's going out and doing the right thing. Talk about that. Don't, like, melting down over whatever jersey he's wearing at the time when everybody knows him as a Dallas Star, so he's going to go out wearing a Dallas Stars jersey.
I mean, if he had showed up in a Carolina Hurricanes uniform, would the Dallas Stars be complaining about it? Well, he played for us last.
He's a free agent right now.
Right.
He's nobody's property. He's agreed to terms with your team. Like, what if, for sake of the argument, he fails his physical, they tear up the contract, because that is a potential possibility.
Correct.
Here. They could discover something, he could fail the physical, and then the conditions of the deal are gone, he can't be signed.
Right.
And it's like he never existed. And like, what if he does that and he goes out next year and he wears a Toronto Maple Leafs jersey? He was never a Toronto Maple Leaf.
Again, Brad Treliving is doing his due diligence both for the salary cap and for... He legitimately is protecting the Leafs from an investment they don't have to make.
Exactly.
And everybody is raining complete fire on Yanni Hockenpah for showing up in a Stars jersey.
And like, Toronto fans wonder why they have the bad rap that they do when this guy...
But it's not the fans, though. Like, the Toronto media gets the bad rap from a lot of hockey players because this is why.
Yeah.
Look at Mitch Marner last year after the playoffs when everybody was just all over him for not scoring. You know what? You can be mad at Mitch Marner for not scoring. There are 21 other guys that you need to look at as well.
But it's like you...
That included the head
coach. The guy has not played a game. He isn't even officially a Toronto Maple Leaf yet.
Right.
And his name's already being dragged through the mud by the media, and he's probably sitting there in Finland like, I don't want to go here now.
I mean, if I'm Yanni Hockenpah, I don't mind going to play for the Leafs, but the moment that Steve Simmons walks into that room, you're out.
There's a few players on the Leafs who refuse to answer questions by him already.
There are already guys that legitimately won't take his question, but if you're Yanni Hockenpah now and you're sitting at the press conference and you see that bumbling idiot walk in, okay, press conference is over. Thanks, guys. Have a nice day.
Yeah. I would just ignore him. Because, like, what are you doing? You don't get to be here.
I mean, this is Tortorella Brooks level in terms of how Brooks used to go after Tortorella for some of the stuff that, you know, that he did. And Tortorella would call him out for it. Now, Hockenpah's not going to do that. He's going to say, you know, he's got a little
bit. Yeah, but Torts and Brooks, like, they had a good relationship.
But no, because Brooksy used to write stuff that Tortorella hated. Now, they mended fences afterwards. Yeah, afterwards. But while that entire time he was in New York there, Tortorella just despised him for some of the stuff that he wrote about both the players and the coaching staff. And you go, that kind of stuff, though, is why guys legitimately get that reputation. Again, I'm not saying that Brooks is a terrible reporter. I'm sure he's got his sources and his people that tell him stuff, and he writes what he knows.
Yeah, he's writing what he's told.
Larry Brooks is Larry Brooks. He's a well-known sports writer in New York. He's not going to get tossed. Same thing with Steve Simmons in Toronto. But again, Steve Simmons is the guy who dragged Phil Kessel through the mud over that hot dog story that wasn't true. And now again, Phil Kessel goes out and trolls him every chance he gets for the hot dog. Now he's already all over Hockenpah for something that, again, he didn't do.
Well, he also had the Matthews COVID thing.
Right, which is a huge problem.
Yeah, he leaked that Matthews had COVID when that was a private matter.
And again, you go...
In the offseason.
And you go, what exactly are you trying to accomplish here? Because your scoops are... Yeah, okay, they're scoops, but they're also seriously harmful to everybody that's in and around that Leafs setup.
He writes for the Toronto Sun.
I get it.
All they care about is clicks and clicks and clicks, and he gets those clicks because he's who he is.
And again, I understand that's how it works, but at the end of the day, though, people need to start tuning out these morons and start tuning into the respectable guys. And I understand that Jeff Merrick got run out of Sportsnet, and he probably shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
But legitimately, Merrick isn't reporting on this. Elliot Friedman isn't reporting on this.
Yeah, because it's not a story.
Right. There is nothing there to get angry about.
Like, it would be a different thing if, like, Eric Comrie, who just re-signed with the Jets, went out and wore a Buffalo Sabres jersey to a charity event.
Do I care? He's playing golf.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even care if he's wearing a Buffalo Sabres. He played for them. I don't care.
He was more of an impact in the Buffalo Sabres organization than he is in the Winnipeg Jets organization. Doesn't matter that he's on paper a Winnipeg Jet now. He's probably fairly well known in Buffalo right now because of the role that he played on that
Correct.
Team. Same thing with Dylan Coughlin. If he went out and he hasn't played a game for the Jets yet, he doesn't have a Jets jersey. If he went out and he did a charity event and he wore a Carolina Hurricanes jersey, fine.
But it doesn't matter to me if Sean Monahan shows up in Winnipeg at an event in a Calgary Flames jersey.
He's most well known for being a Calgary Flame.
I have no problem with that. Again, when they allow guys to go into the Hall of Fame in baseball, they get to pick what uniform they want to go in, and teams go, all right, we're okay with that. Why is it so hard to understand that Yanni Hockenpah is well known as a Dallas Star and not as a Maple Leaf because A, he hasn't been signed, and B, he's not a Maple Leaf?
No, not yet. Like, there is a universe, there is a very distinct possibility that he's never a Toronto Maple Leaf.
Again, it sounds like his knee is fine. I'm not going to say that he's not going to play and he's not going to sign. Again, it sounds like his knee is completely ready to go for an NHL season. He probably will be a Leaf. But until Brad Treliving sends that contract into NHL Central Registry, he is not.
Yeah. He's just Yanni Hockenpah, the free agent.
Former Dallas Star, Yanni Hockenpah.
Yeah.
So I get angry at that, and I was pretty furious about it yesterday because I was reading it just going, this is ridiculous, but whatever, and I'm glad that we had that conversation. So it comes down to, again, we've pointed out some shortfalls by some media people in the last few weeks in terms of the show. Again, another one. Let's stop making mountains out of anything that aren't even close to molehills.
Yep.
Out of flatland, please.
Just a random charity event in Finland.
And again, dude shows up because he's well known as a Dallas. Yeah. Whatever, that's fine. Sticking with the NHL, we'll get through the last little bit of NHL here. NHL coaching changes in Columbus happened this week. A lot of people in and out of those revolving doors there. As you may have heard, Dean Evason was hired as the Columbus Blue Jackets' new head coach. The 59-year-old is the, again, this is a staggering number.
Yep.
The 11th head coach in franchise history, in their 24-year history, and that doesn't include interim coaches.
Yeah, that's
a two-year lifespan.
Exactly,
for those head coaches.
Every head coach lasts about 2 years.
So that's brutal. But again, Dean Evason brought in because he's a bit of a stricter coach. They're looking to sort of change the culture in Columbus, it sounds like. So Evason's going to be the guy to try and instill that there. Last coach with the Minnesota Wild, where he was 147, 77, and 27 in 251 games. They did go four times to the playoffs under Evason, so he's got a bit of a record of being a defensively minded coach as well, which should help Columbus.
Yeah, when they don't have very good goaltending, and I mean their best young players are their defensemen.
Correct.
So
yeah, so we'll see what happens there. But Dean Evason in there as a head coach now. All sorts of stuff happening this week. Assistant coach Mark Recchi was fired on Tuesday. Now, again, Mark Recchi's a very smart hockey guy. He's been around the game for a long time, played for a long time, obviously, as well. He was hired under kind of weird circumstances after the whole Pascal Vincent replaced Mike Babcock thing last year. I think they were looking to bring in sort of somebody who had a little bit more experience, and Recchi was the guy they identified. He was let go on Tuesday. He has 1 year left on his contract.
So they're still paying him.
Well, we'll get to more of they're still paying him. Mike Haviland, who was an associate coach with the Cleveland Monsters last year, he was promoted to the Columbus Blue Jackets as assistant coach. Assistant coaches Steve McCarthy and Jared Boll will remain in their roles. I don't know what those roles are, but honestly, I don't think they're on the bench if they are. Only one of them is on the bench anyway. But another assistant coach was expected to be hired. That happened today. Former Milwaukee Admirals assistant coach, Scott Ford was the man they hired from Milwaukee. So, to be honest, getting Ford in there, he's got a good track record of developing players down in Milwaukee for Nashville. So, pretty decent hire there. But here's where things get a little sketchy. We already know they paid off Babcock to go away. Yep. Basically, told them to walk away. They are still paying Mark Recchi, Pascal Vincent, and Jarmo Kekalainen money, and then none of those guys work for the team anymore. That is an expensive coaching staff.
Like, okay, I said it before the show, but...
And the rumor was, from Aaron Portsline, that Todd McClellan turned down the offer of becoming the head coach because they couldn't pay him enough money because he wanted $5 million a season as opposed to the $3 million they're reportedly paying Evason.
God, I love Portsline. Like, if he had a better team to cover... Man, that guy deserves it. With the Arizona Coyotes dead, I think the torch for the worst run franchise in the NHL has now passed to the Columbus Blue Jackets.
If this were the Olympics, the Columbus Blue Jackets would win gold, silver, and bronze for how badly they're run.
Like, it is staggering how since the year 2000. This team has never been able to get it right with a fan base that is very supportive. Like, this is a team that's not like struggling to sell tickets. They've got a dedicated fan base, a small market, and they've had some talented players come through there. But like at every level, it has just been mismanaged and mismanaged and mismanaged, and just like it's going nowhere.
And again, I'm not trying to say this is towards any of the coaches that have been there afterwards, but does it really surprise you that John Tortorella has been the most successful coach there?
It does not surprise me at all.
Like, the guy who he doesn't rule with an iron fist. He's a pretty good players coach when he behind the scenes, but the guy who gets fiery and mad and literally lights guys up because they're not doing their job is the guy that's got the best results so far.
Yeah, well, it's because John Tortorella is much more... He manages teams much more than any of the other coaches that have gone through there have, right? Like, he's much more like, I need this guy, I need this guy, I need this guy, I need this over here, I need this, that, and the other thing.
But it's not just that. It's the guys that are already there as well. Yeah. I have this expectation from you. I want to see you get to this level. What do I need to do to put A into B, to get A to B at that point?
Exactly. And he was overseeing an era where he had players in that system that responded to that kind of structure.
Except for one guy.
Yeah, except for one guy, but like...
He got traded anyway.
Yeah, it's like, who cares? But it's like... And you go through the list of coaches that they've had, and it's just like... Are you just going to be the new Arizona Coyotes, where it's like, you're where guys go until they get a better offer somewhere else?
It's a revolving door right now. That's all it is.
And John Tortorella, I think, was the longest serving coach for that franchise, right?
Probably been, yeah.
Like, it's wild how... And, like, the teams that came in at the same time as the Blue Jackets, are wildly more successful than they are.
Yeah, Minnesota's, you could say that about Minnesota, yeah. Pretty easily.
Nashville's pretty successful.
Nashville's, yeah.
I mean, Atlanta.
Anaheim, all those teams, yeah.
Atlanta didn't really get a great shake, but now they're in Winnipeg and they're fairly reasonably okay. successful.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's weird to see. Whatever. I mean, I just, 2 years for a head coach in Columbus, that's brutal.
Yeah.
Again, you want to know why there's no culture there? It's because they can't establish one.
Yeah,
because
you don't give a guy any time or any ability to do anything.
Let's jump to Ottawa, where an interesting news report came out yesterday. I think it's not a news report, but an interview happened yesterday. Ottawa PWHL GM Mike Hirschfeld was on TSN 1200 yesterday. And Jason, I know this is going to bother you a little bit, but the PWHL, he was on there and he told TSN 1200, quote, or not quote, I guess, but told them that PWHL schedule will be released at the end of September.
Okay.
Which, okay, sounds all right in terms of how things work.
Don't they start in October, though?
I don't know when they're going to start this year. Well, maybe. Who knows? But the promise of the August release of team names and logos is not going to happen. Apparently, it will be announced in mid-September, according
to
Hirschfeld.
We're already in early August, so
we're already behind the eight ball.
A little tight to be putting that off.
I'm a little annoyed. Although I will say, based upon how some of the things were introduced last year, maybe taking more time is better for this league.
Yeah.
Because it won't feel like it's been rushed to just get it out there
like
for the sake
Walter
of
Cup.
It out there. Like the Walter Cup, like any of the team names they proposed in the at the
oh
beginning.
My God. Like having the deadline pushed this close to that date, being working in the role that I'm working in the department that I work in, what that tells me is there was a late monkey wrench thrown into the gears in terms of, I'm thinking there might be something in terms of somebody didn't like a design or something that was produced. Something was not, there was a deliverable that didn't come in on time or a dependency that didn't get met or potentially a copyright issue that needed to be resolved and something needed to be changed. It sounds like there was just a small issue that scuttled the whole thing. So now they have to push it off to fix it.
Well, we'll see what it looks like when it comes out. But, I mean, it sounds like mid-September we're going to keep our eyes peeled for that. And we'll certainly be talking about that on this show. But, yeah, PWHL a little bit behind on their getting ahead of the game a little bit here.
As
but
long as they get it right.
Some signings, for those that we talked a little bit about this last week about how the KHL was going to more of an NHL model where they kind of had some more freedom to do what they want, might have overshot our comparison there because it's more like an AHL franchise now, AHL league now in terms of how they're doing it. So these are all players you should recognize, names you should recognize, because there's a lot of names in here that played both AHL and NHL over here. That just simply couldn't find a team to stick with. So, KHL has been busy. Here we go. Former Habs Coyote and Devil forward, Frederick Gauthier. He signed with Vitesse Moscow. Mm-hmm. So, okay, decent name off the board there. Former Winnipeg Jets defender Nathan Beaulieu has signed with Baris Astana in Kazakhstan.
Okay.
Former Sharks forward, Alexander Barabanov. He signed with Akbars Kazan in Russia. Former Jets and Moose forward Nick Petan also signed with Akbars Kazan. Nick Petan had a great season last year with both the Iowa Wild and the Hartford Wolfpack, might I add. Former Kings defender and alleged domestic abuser Slava Voynov and former Red Wings.
It's not alleged.
I'm just saying.
He was charged.
I'm just saying.
And convicted.
Former Red Wings and but he's still over in Russia. It's the Felon League. Former Red Wings and Jets forward Evgeny Svechnikov. They both signed with Torpedo Nizhny Novgorod. So those two are going to be playing there next year.
Torpedo.
Former Anaheim Ducks and Chicago Wolves forward, recently signed with Carolina, might I add. Maxime Comtois has signed with Dynamo Moscow.
That guy's career is an enigma to me.
It legitimately just circles the bowl the entire time. I have no idea what's going on with him. But former Penguins and Devils defender Will Butcher signed with Baris Astana.
That's a weird one.
Will Butcher is a good defender. How did he not find a contract over here?
Right?
Or how much are they paying him to come over there?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I expected him to be like a bottom pair guy somewhere.
Yeah.
At the very least. Like,
Former Montreal Canadian, guy who's been all over the hockey map, Byron Fraze, Winnipegger Byron Fraze, signed with Yaroslavl Lokomotiv.
Okay.
Barry Sestana then went out and signed a Manitoban as well. They added former Flyer forward Wade Allison to their roster.
That's a name I have not heard in a very long time.
His entire career has been played with Philadelphia, so he's been buried in the Lehigh Valley system the whole time. The one that stood out to me the most, and this is the one that we're going to talk about a little bit here now, is because
Evgeny Kuznetsov?
No, we're not Kuznetsov. We already know he signed with SKA and all sorts of medical issues that he was talking about. But the one that stood out to me, though, was obviously this one because of what it means. Disgraced junior player and former Devils forward Michael McLeod has signed with Barry Sestana. Now, that's two of the five that have signed in the KHL. Dylan Dubé being the other one who signed with Dynamo Minsk. Michael McLeod is now playing over in the KHL as well. He's one of the five junior players that are named in the 2018 Hockey Canada scandal. I understand that they don't have to, that the KHL is basically a rogue league. They don't have to follow IIHF standards and all that kind of stuff. But I don't understand how teams can legitimately look at this and go, he's cool, we'll take him.
I think it is part the mentality of a lot of, I'm not going to say like Russians in general, but there is a certain subset that will look at a guy, at what these guys are alleged to have done, and be like, well, they're not convicted, fine.
But it doesn't matter. Slava Voynov was charged.
I know.
Charged
that, that's the other argument. But it's like, there's just like this. I think what they're doing, part of it, is they're getting by on fans in Russia probably don't know, frankly, what these guys are alleged to have done.
That wouldn't surprise me, to be honest.
So they can get away with it in a way that, like, an AHL, ECHL, like any other league, probably can't, just because of how tied in a lot of the other leagues and other countries are.
Alex Formanton is still playing, at least reportedly, was going back to Switzerland this year.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I think that it's a big story here in North America, particularly in Canada. I don't think it's a big story in Russia, or even a story at all in Russia, so they can get away with bringing these guys in. And they see the upside of, these guys are good at hockey. They can't get a job in the NHL. We're the next best option for them. They will come here for a reasonable amount of money. My issue is these guys are facing trial.
Right.
Right? Obviously, the criminal justice system in every country is backed up like crazy.
Oh, right.
They're not going to go to trial for another 2 years. So, yes, you need to be able to support yourself while you're awaiting trial. My issue is, why are they allowed to leave the country and go to a place where we have no extradition treaty? So if they go there and the trial date comes up and they say, no, we're staying in Russia, you can't come get us, we have no extradition treaty to say, hey, these guys need to face trial here in Canada. Russia, give us back these guys. Arrest them and give them to us. There is no extradition treaty. If they want to stay there, they're free to stay there. If they want to become Russian citizens, they're free to stay Russian citizens and not face trial here in Canada.
But this is the question that I have, is that in 99, I don't even know what the number is, but I'm pretty sure it's high, but I'll say 99.9% of cases where there is a serious allegation such as sexual assault, you're forced to forfeit your passport. And these guys aren't.
Yeah, because they're not normal people like you and me.
But we talk about how the law is blind in terms of making sure. And yet these guys are allowed to continue to play hockey at whatever level they want just because that's the only thing they know how to do. I'm sorry, but you don't need a lot of skill to say, do you want fries with that?
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, yeah, it's not the Canadian justice system's fault that these guys went to become professional athletes, didn't finish their education, didn't get a degree, didn't get experience doing a normal job, and they can't go and do that in Canada while they await trial. That's not their problem. That's not our problem as the Canadian public to give them the ability to play professional hockey because it's the only thing they're good at. Like, they are alleged to have committed a serious crime here in Canada. They are facing trial here in Canada. By every other metric, any other person here in this country would be stuck here until that trial happened. But these guys, because of who they are, because of what their skill set is, because of whatever reasoning, they're able to go to a country with no extradition treaty. If they miss their court date and are charged in absentia, we can't go get them.
I mean, we'll leave that up to the obviously the Canadian court system to figure out, Canadian legal system to figure out. But my question is the same one I just asked. How is it that they are allowed to go and work and play in a different country? It doesn't make any sense, mm-hmm. not only legally, but it doesn't make any sense just logically that they're allowed to leave the country. Again, if you're a felon, you're not allowed to cross a border.
Yeah. Well, they're not officially felons yet.
I mean, let's bygone be. Yeah. But the criminal system, if you're in the process of being tried, should you be allowed to leave the country and go anywhere else?
For the average person, they would either be sitting in jail awaiting trial.
Right.
Or they'd be out on bond and
which they've posted.
Yeah, which the conditions of their bond
would,
for the average person, would be like, hey, you can't leave the country because that would deem you a flight risk.
And I get that they're hockey players and it's easy to track where they are, but it's also easy for them to retire after 1 year in Russia and never be heard from again.
Yeah. It's very easy for them to just never come back.
I don't understand, but whatever.
And like,
no, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, and then that if... And then there's going to be no justice served because, like, the other guys that are involved are still here. They're doing what they reasonably should have to do.
I don't know.
Like, that's the thing. That's the thing that, like, drives me crazy about, because this isn't the first time. Like, the Alex Galchenyuk situation is the exact same thing, where you know this person has money. You know this person has connections. You know, in Galchenyuk's case, you know that he has family in another country and he can easily go there and just disappear. That should make them a flight risk. That should change the conditions of their bond.
But it also comes down to the bond should also include that you can't go to a country where you can't be extradited. Like, that would be the easiest thing to write in there.
Yeah, like, if they went to, like, Sweden, or if they went and they, you know, continued their NHL career and they were going between Canada and the States, if somebody skips out on bail or, you know, misses their trial date and gets convicted and they are in the States, the FBI and the I guess ICE can track them down, arrest them, and send them back to Canada to face justice. But you can't do that with Russia.
I don't understand this, but the lawyers apparently are smarter than we are, so whatever. But last KHL announcement is that on Tuesday they announced that HC Cyber Novosibirsk, just above the eastern portion of Kazakhstan, will host the 2025 KHL All-Star Game and Weekend on February 8th and 9th, 2025. So again, that's coming up in February. Novosibirsk becomes the easternmost city to hold the event in the KHL's 17-year history. For those wondering, it's only 3,400 kilometers east of Moscow. And as per Google Maps, because I was curious about how quick it would take, a car ride from Moscow to Novosibirsk would only take you 43 hours.
Oh my goodness.
So you're basically going in the dead of winter in February through Russian winter to try and watch the All-Star game if you're leaving Moscow and going to Novosibirsk.
I mean, it's 15 degrees there right now.
Well, but I mean, it's also summer there.
Yeah, it's true. I'm looking at it and it's like, that's not even like, that's like the middle of the country.
Yeah. It's legitimately like in the, like, again, it's just above the eastern portion of Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
it's nowhere near the Western Europeanized version of Russia.
Where's the easternmost team in the KHL?
Vladivostok.
Where's that?
It's legitimately over near Korea and China. It's on the you know the part that hooks down?
Yeah.
That's where it is. It's basically a Navy base.
I'm looking for it. That is insane. Khabarovsk. Oh, that's another one.
Oh, there you go.
That's just like in the middle of just like super
yeah.
far in the east. There's nothing around here.
Right. But so we're going to put them in that arena where it holds just over 10,000 people because it's brand new.
Yeah.
And Alexei Morozov, former Penguin Alexei Morozov, who's the president of the KHL, is like, yep, we're good with that. Let's go with it.
That's insanity.
A few more signings to announce. These ones are U-Sports signings. These ones are important because we always attract the U-Sports guys. Former York Lions defender Justin Bean has signed with the ECHL's Maine Mariners.
Nice.
Former Guelph Griffins defender and reigning ECHL Defender of the Year Patrick Kudla. He re-signed with the Idaho Steelheads. Former Toronto Varsity Blues defender Nick Grima, re-signed with the Indy Fuel. And former Waterloo Warriors forward Max Neal signed with the Utah Grizzlies. I didn't know this, but apparently Kent Manderville's kid's playing in the ECHL this year as well. So I didn't even know he had a kid that was that old in terms of having a son. So
interesting.
He has Canadian and American heritage in terms of playing down there. Last big story we got here for you. This one's going to be a little more fun. Melbourne Mustangs. We announced at the end of June that they were competing for a playoff spot. They didn't have such a great season to start the season, but they were looking to round into form as they were entering the playoffs.
Yep.
Melbourne Mustangs entered last weekend needing to sweep the two games. They needed a pile of help. They needed a whole bunch of stuff. I guess not last weekend. I guess it was the weekend before that. But
yep.
Basically, they needed a lot of things to go right for them.
Yep.
We'll check into that. But they sat 9 points back of the Perth Thunder for the final playoff spot at the beginning of July. Okay? So we're going to run through July quickly here because things kind of went quickly in terms of how fast everything developed. Again, the inconsistent play had made them, made things tough for them when it came to making that playoff spot, defending their title they won last year. But again, they could make it if they won and got some help. So again, remember that. If they win and get some help, no big deal. So July 13 started off against the Perth Thunder, who they were trying to catch. It didn't go so well as Melbourne fell 5-3 on the road. That loss also came after Perth had picked up 5 of 6 points at the beginning of the month. So they opened a big gap on the Mustangs with that win on the 13th. Mm-hmm. July 14th, though, saw the Mustangs rebound with a 6-3 win over Perth, essentially turning them into the weekend into a wash. So those 6 points were essentially a zero for both teams.
Yep.
Onward and forward then. July 19th had the Mustangs hosting their in-rink compatriots in the Melbourne Ice, and it was all Mustangs in that one as they laid a 9-2 beatdown on the ice. With Perth off, though, Melbourne did make up a little bit of ground, so 3 points to the positive on that. July 20th saw Melbourne continue its winning ways with a 5-1 win over the Newcastle North Stars. Perth did them no favors, though, as they beat the Sydney Ice Dogs 6-2 on the same day. So again, a little bit of a wash there. July 21st had Melbourne off, but again, Perth came out and spoiled a little bit more fun. They beat the Sydney Bears 6-3 that day. So again, that plus three is now a zero again in terms of what went on. So again, you can see quickly how much runway is going to be chopped off here as they're running out of games pretty quickly. That landed us on the final weekend in July. So here's where things get a little crazy.
Okay.
Definitely must-win territory now for the Mustangs due to the number of games remaining. Mustangs did get some help from the ice, from the Melbourne Ice, on July 27th when they beat Perth 5-1, and that set up a pile of drama on Sunday, July 28th, because if they were to close the gap a little bit more with a win, things would become almost right down to the wire.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the catch, though. With Perth needing just 1 point on July 28th to secure a playoff spot, Melbourne had to win in regulation time. Didn't look good. They spotted Perth a 4-0 lead over the first 35 minutes of the game, which you go, okay, like, come on, what are you doing? Like, you knew the stakes and you had to win.
Yeah.
But Melbourne refused to go quietly into the night. Hayden Dawes scored with a minute left in the second before Ty Wishart scored 2 in the third, and Dawes added his second goal of the game with 5 minutes to play to make it a 4-4 game. Okay.
Exciting.
So 4-4 with 5 to go. Knowing the stakes, Melbourne decided to pull Logan Flodell, their goaltender, with 4 minutes to play in the game, and they threw everything they had at Perth goaltender Leo Bertine. Despite the pressure, the Mustangs, though, could not get a puck past Bertin before time ran out, and the overtime point was granted to Perth was enough for them to clinch the final playoff spot in the Hellier Division over Melbourne. Melbourne will not go to the playoffs this year. Our chosen AIHL team will not defend their title this year.
Sad. There's always next year.
On a side note, the Mustangs did score in overtime to win 5-4, but the damage had clearly already been done. They're just playing out the schedule now, and we're going to have to wait till next year to see what happens with them.
And I'm pretty sure you know who is headed to the playoffs.
Don't say it. Please don't say it.
Mike Sarant.
Is he? Are you sure?
I thought Brisbane made it.
Let me find out right now. I'm going to find out by taking a look. It's driving me nuts. If he made it, I'm going to be furious. I probably won't be furious, actually, to be honest.
They're in the...
Brisbane did make it. They're going to play the Melbourne Ice on Friday, August 23rd in the playoff round.
Yeah.
Melbourne Ice against the... Oh, my God.
Not quite Mike Sarant led Brisbane Lightning,
no,
but...
I mean, they're still in there. Give them credit. I'll give them credit. They got in there.
That's what he's good at. He's at just good enough to get into the playoffs.
Defenseman Mitchell Dick is still leading the team in scoring. He has 10 goals, 25 assists, 35 points in 29 games.
Woo.
There you go. A little bit of fun right there for you in terms of at least a player that we've seen play a couple times. But Brisbane will be in there. So congrats. Brisbane with a 9-15-4-1 record will make the playoffs right now.
That's insane.
Okay, so, I mean, again, looking at this, they are the only team with a losing record that will go into the playoffs.
Ah, the Mike Sarant special.
Welcome to
losing record, but just still make the playoffs.
Welcome to sixth place in Canada West, right?
Yeah.
So there's the Melbourne update in terms of what's gone on. Sucks to be that, to not see them in the playoffs, but end of the day, you kind of hope that that they bounce back next year and bring a little fun back to Melbourne in terms of having a little fun with that. So always good to see... a little bit of AIHL hockey, as that league is a lot of fun there. Speaking of a lot of fun, one last story before we go here, Jay. We got about 6 minutes to go here. I don't know if you were aware, University of Kentucky has hockey. Now, University of Kentucky is known for their basketball team, obviously, yep. NCAA. But the University of Kentucky Wildcats will take the ice in 2024-2025 in the ACHA Division II Men's Hockey Conference. So, again, they play fairly low college hockey in terms of the skill level, in terms of the abilities. But they're out there playing. Now, normally, we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about ACHA men's hockey. But Kentucky is doing something that's either totally cool or completely bonkers this season.
Okay.
According to their schedule, released on Tuesday, and all of their social media accounts where they were promoting their schedule, the Wildcats have chosen to play every Friday and Saturday home game with a start time of 11:59 p.m.
Which is a minute to midnight.
1 minute until midnight in order to fill their required, you have to have a game on Friday, game on Saturday necessity, as demanded by the league. They're going to start every game basically at midnight. Thoughts on starting a college hockey game? If you were calling this right now, if you were calling
I would
games,
quit. like, that is insanity. Like, you... Also, my thought in hearing that is, like, what if they have a delay... And they can't start the game on Friday.
Okay, so as long as the game somehow gets started, like, no big deal. I have no idea what the delay be. But again, here's... people are going, there's no way. This is the stupidest thing I've heard.
Yeah, there had to be some screw-up. Well,
again, according to them, the ice time is cheaper, which saves the program money. But it also, quote-unquote, gives them a competitive advantage. Unquote.
You guys are such liars.
I have no idea how you'd have a competitive advantage starting at midnight because I beerly
you would
games
be so
at,
tired.
Beer league games at midnight suck.
Those are the games when nobody would show up because, like, yeah, it's almost midnight. Why am I here?
So here's the fun though. Beginning on Friday, September 6th, the University of Colorado Buffaloes will play two games with both scheduled to start 1 minute to midnight on that weekend. The weird part though is they do have Sunday games as well occasionally. Now, for those going, how? The Sunday scheduled games will begin at 3 p.m. Eastern time. So imagine getting off the ice at, say, 2 in the morning doing your post-game wrap-ups and everything like that and getting ready for the next, getting on the bus, getting into your car, whatever, getting home at 2:30 and falling asleep at 3 a.m. just to go back for the rink the next day, say at noon.
Oh yeah, that's not a competitive advantage. You're just running your players ragged. So yeah, stay up until midnight, play a full hockey game, go home in the middle of the night.
See, I can see maybe one or two games if you had an opponent that agreed to it. The fact that the league agreed to this and allowed them to publish that schedule is madness.
Honestly, this is just covering up somebody making a huge boneheaded mistake. Like, they needed to get the dates in to the rink manager by this date at this time, and they missed it. And the rink manager's like, well, it's first come, first serve, so you've got nothing. Like, and the other thing is, like, this is a college team. Do they not have their own rink?
They play in the... I'm trying to see where they play, actually. They say that... No, that's for the basketball team. Rupp Arena's in there. I don't know if they have... Memorial Coliseum maybe is where they play. I don't know. They don't have a lot of information about it.
So they're renting ice at a...
Oh, point. Here we go. Here we go. I found a little bit of information on it. You're going to laugh at this. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
So again, UK, they play blah, 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 in terms of information that's on here, whatever. I don't care. That's fine. 5:30. Okay, so their barn, as they call it here, their barn has an official seating capacity of 500.
I know of junior B teams with higher capacity than that.
I don't understand. I mean, I understand what you're doing here, but Lexington Ice Center is where they hold some of their games. Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah.
It holds 1,000 people max. Like they've turned people away at the door because it was over the fire seating requirements. So, gives you an idea as to how many people are going to show up for this game as well if they're comfortable putting a hockey at midnight in
their schedule.
Yeah,
that is insanity.
I don't understand this.
I need, out of morbid curiosity, I'm going to watch.
This is the third season they've done it.
I thought it was just this season.
Oh no. Everybody knows we play at midnight, says Ryan Van Daneker, the team's general manager. Our opponents, they know it and they hate it. It's our sweet spot. You feel like going to bed and we're just getting ready to party.
Are they successful at least?
No, they were 3-20 2 years ago when they first started doing it. So, but maybe it changes. Maybe it changes as they get going again.
Oh my God.
So yeah, so there you go. So there's the information. Kentucky, if you want to go down there and see hockey games, go down there for the late evening turnout. You can have dinner
early morning.
You can have dinner and a nap before going to the game.
Hey, no traffic and no fighting for parking.
No, that should be the good part anyway. But hey, Jay, anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Just have a great weekend, everybody.
You did want to mention one player, though.
Oh, yeah, I forget. Nick Letty, big shout out to him, was fishing out in BC, caught a 9-foot sturgeon out in BC. That thing looked like a dinosaur.
That's a massive fish.
That is incredible. The photo at Sturgeon Slayers on Instagram, you can find it there. You can find it on his Instagram. Huge shout out, Nick Letty. That is unreal.
Yeah, big shout out to her for catching a fish that big. Not very many people can. With that, folks, stay tuned, though. Free Range Radio with Skippy coming up next here on the station. We are always happy to have you here on the Hockey Show. We'll be back next week. Hopefully a lot more fun. We'll talk about a lot more stuff next week here at 5:30 p.m. See you next week on the Hockey Show, everybody. Have a good one. Do what the hell is do the tish, do the ribbon, do the bee.
Covering all genres of music, including Swedish remakes of Rapper's Delight, you're listening to CJUM FM 101.5 in Winnipeg.
Whoa!